Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Kara Golden Show, where we dive into the lives and minds of some of the most inspirational and forward-thinking entrepreneurs of our time. Today, we have an incredible guest to chat with, Basma Hamid, who is the founder and CEO of an incredible beauty brand that is called Basma Beauty. And Basma Beauty is a brand that's shaking it up in the beauty industry with its very innovative approach. It's not just another cosmetic line. It's a pioneering brand that crafts formulas with a deep understanding of the diversity in skin tones, the unique journeys our skin undergoes, and the specific needs of different skin types. And Basma's vision goes way beyond superficial beauty standards, focusing on inclusivity and the personalization of skincare and makeup. And her backstory of why she founded it is so inspiring and so incredible. Her work in developing these products too really comes from a place of solving a problem, not just for herself, but for others. So very, very inspiring. And so without further ado, it's so nice to meet you, Basma. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the intro. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, what you've done, and definitely Basma Beauty is shaking it up. I really mean that. So very excited to have you here to share a little bit more about the brand and overall your journey. So can we start at before you started Basma Beauty, what were you doing and kind of how did this idea all come about?
So I'll take you back a little bit. So when I was 2 years old, I was in a kitchen accident and I ended up having hot oil spilling down half of my face. And literally as a child, as a kid, like my whole life, I felt like I was never included, right? So anywhere I went, it was always, because it was on my face, it was the first thing that anybody, you know, saw, right? Everybody would be able to see it and they would say something. It was very hard growing up with it because of the bullying and all of that that comes with it. So I found that it was during that difficult time, I was super young, but around like, I believe like 6 years old, I came and I discovered makeup around that time. Okay. I just came across foundation and, but just by chance playing with it, I didn't understand that it was started giving me like a little bit of that confidence.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now, too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Right? And being so young, I just didn't know those feelings, but I felt like there's something there, right? So mm-hmm. I kept playing with makeup. I started actually throughout the years at that age, I started mixing my own colors and customizing, and I didn't really know I was actually learning how to color correct. So my burn was extremely red. So during that time when I was mixing colors, I didn't realize I was actually, that's what I was doing, is color correcting. So through that time, I just felt so deeply in love. I felt like I was finally free. You know, so if I apply it, I always say it's like Superman with his cape. Every time when I had makeup on, I felt like no one could stop me. So understanding that and knowing like what that did to me, and understanding at a very young age from color correcting the difference between skin types and undertones and scar tissue, because I have a mixture of everything, right? So understanding it so young, I didn't really know that it was preparing me for another chapter, right, in my life. And, you know, and to be honest with you, like I grew up, I wasn't like, you know, I was shy, but at the same time, so as soon as I have the makeup, I'm good to go. That's my confidence boost. So I saw myself like, I'll be a little bit more active. And then at the same time, I'm like, okay, here's something that gives me confidence. But if I walk into a makeup store, the first thing, like without even me saying anything, they'd be like, you go over here. So they would point me towards the more scar-friendly makeup. And it would make me so much more insecure. And I'm like, this is not making any sense. The one thing that gives me power, at the same time, it's like taking it away from me. So I was always around that, being kind of boxed in into that scar-friendly, you know, makeup. I was always embarrassed, like I didn't have a choice, so I would buy it. But it was like so cakey, never the right color. And on top of it, they're always like their packaging was so clinical that as a teenager, I'm around my friends and everybody has this cute packaging. And I'm just like so embarrassed to take it out of my, you know, my bag in school or anything. I just didn't want to be seen because I didn't want to attract more, right, to my scar. And I didn't want anybody around me to be like, oh, you're using this. Like, what is that? So it added that embarrassment, you know? So, but over time, I believe like I was around like 15. I went, I was here in Toronto and I went to see my plastic surgeon. And I asked him as a young teenager, like I just said, hey, is there anything else I can do to improve my scar? And he was like, Basma, take your money, go on a vacation. He's like, there's literally nothing else we can do for you. So as a teenager, you hear those words, like somebody literally telling you to give up. And I promise you, Kara, like every single morning, it was a challenge for me to even get out of bed because you hear so much noise and people would say, people are really harsh. You know, can be kids, can be adults. So you build confidence every day to get outside, just to go outside, only to be told, you know, just pretty much give up. So at that moment, I said, okay, well, if there's nothing else the medical community can do for me, I went home that day and I said, let me just research. Let me see if there is something else. Okay. And I ended up coming across permanent makeup, which was nothing new, eyebrows, eyeliner, and lips, right? So while I was doing my research, I said, okay, so if we're able to put pigment in skin to do eyebrows, eyeliner, and lips, why not just customize skin tone colors and put it into scar tissue? So I brought the idea back. I took it back to the medical community, and they were all against it. They said, what do you mean by putting color in scar tissue? Scars don't take color. They don't accept color. And you'll regret it later on because it will change colors. And I said to them, well, how do you know? Has anybody ever done it? And they're like, no. And I was like, but how are you telling me no when nobody has ever done it? So I went on, I understood color so well, and I ended up going to school around 17 years old. I went to get my medical aesthetics, okay? Learned everything about school. At the same time, I was apprenticing with a permanent makeup artist to learn how we can put pigment in skin. And I still, during that time, that idea kept like coming in my head. I was like, I have to do this. I have to do this. Because I literally had nothing to lose, right? So I said, okay. Once I learned everything, I started, it would be like a regular, you know, at 18 years old, 17 years old, people are my age going outside on a Friday night. I was in the clinic mixing my own colors, and then I started practicing on myself, on my own face, on my own burn. And I swear to you, like, for me, I wasn't scared. Not at all. And I was literally, I had nothing to do. So I'm like, let me just go for it. So I started doing it. And because the benefit that I had from that is because I did it to myself, I was able to see the progress, like the slightest improvement, even if it was like 2%, I was able to see it because I was like studying it so well and up close. So when I started to see like gradually my red burn kind of getting camouflaged more and more with my skin, with the rest of my skin, I started seeing improvement. That's when I was like, holy crap, we have something here, you know?
That's amazing.
And it was unbelievable. Like literally, I started getting like more understanding and more, getting more practice. And then slowly, as I was sharing my story, I was getting more and more people that would come in. They would say, I have a birthmark, like a port wine stain on my face. Can you try? Because I literally tried everything. And they were on the same boat that I was on. So I was completely honest and I said, listen, I've never done it before. I've only done it to myself. And mine is a third degree burn. I don't know if it's going to work on a birthmark. We started working on birthmarks, all types of accident scars. Then it started growing into plastic surgery scars. So anything you can imagine, I would customize the color for them that matches their skin tone. And I would implant it into their scar tissue to minimize all the color, right? And then before you know it, I mean, the story kept growing and growing. And then by, I believe, 21 years old, I was featured on CNN with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. He did a segment Amazing. Called The Human Factor. And he's like, we've never heard anything like this. And
that's wild. It's
been a wild journey, but I just didn't, honestly, I didn't understand that learning like at such a young age, understanding color so well and scar tissue. That's all I know. All I knew, right? So having it go to that and being able to help so many people off of, you know, a negative situation. So being able to turn it to something positive, that was a huge blessing. And from there, I opened up a clinic in Toronto, Canada. And then I opened up our second location in Beverly Hills. And literally within the first year of opening up in Beverly Hills, we were getting anybody you can imagine from A-listers, members of royal families, like everybody was coming.
Amazing.
Because they're like, you know skin, you understand color so well, we trust you. And that's when in 2016, I was finally ready to launch and start working on Basma Beauty, right? That's my first passion. That's literally what started everything. And that's what truly, like, makeup is what saved me. So in 2016, I said, okay, yes.
Let me just ask you. So were people asking you along the way? I mean, they had you do this work for them. And then would they also say, okay, it looks great, but if I want to put on foundation, what can I wear? And did you feel like it was almost undoing what they had done in some ways, right? Or you felt like this was a massive opportunity that you should jump into based on consumers asking?
Yeah, I think the biggest, like, this is a question we hear every single day till now at the clinic, is that, do you have my shade?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was always the first question. It was a concern because there was a shortage in the market, in the beauty industry, where people weren't included. A lot of different skin tones were not included. So that was always, for me, the first thing that I heard. And I said, at the clinic, I have every color. I can customize any color. So we were able to work on, during the last 20 years I've been doing this, that I literally have experience working on every skin type and undertone. So we were able to customize it. And that's when I knew that that's where what was missing in the industry is the shade range.
That's so incredible. So when you launched Basma Beauty, then you launched with your foundation sticks, right?
Yes. Yes. So that's why, because we were getting all these questions about undertones and colors. So for me, it was like my number one, you know, product, beauty product forever and ever, it will always be foundation. Okay. That's my go-to one product. So I had to do my first product foundation. It took me 4 years to develop, to get the shade range, to perfect it to where it is. So it took us 4 years to work on that. And then during that process, I was able to test it on my clients to make sure everything is good with the formula, having it be, you know, buildable, lightweight, everything that I dreamt of, that I wanted as a child, yeah. You know, growing up or a teenager, everything I ever wanted, I really took my time with it.
So what challenges did you face in formulating? You said it took 4 years. I mean, do you think part of it was because you didn't know how to do it and you were also really busy, or was you also have over 40 shades now, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And so how many did you launch with initially, and sort of talk to me about like challenges you faced in actually formulating?
There were so many challenges in the beginning, I think, because I wanted, it sounded unrealistic. I wanted liquid foundation in a stick format. And I sat down with one of the best chemists and I said, that's exactly what I want. I want it to easily glide on your skin, not drag, right? I always think about everybody with sensitive skin. Like I pay attention to every little detail. So that was really the most challenging part, is that how can we make it so creamy? So, and in the beginning, the first year we made it creamy, it passed stability testing, but then we had a heat wave in California and for some reason it literally melted on my front porch. It melted. So I was like, oh my goodness. So we spent a whole year and we thought we had it, and then it just, so that was a challenge. I think packaging, I wanted something really, really unique. So it was, everything was customized. I didn't use anything that was stock, right? So to customize it, so I made a mold, and then the first mold failed. So I had to go ahead and make a different mold. So there was just so many challenges. I mean, the list goes on. So that's why really it took that, 4 years. And as we're developing too, like the different ingredients. So like we're constantly changing, and I'm so grateful that we actually took the time and we didn't rush it, because we were able to perfect the shade range. Like right now we've gone viral so many times, like the foundation stick.
I know.
Because of the shade range, like people have never seen where you apply it on your skin. It literally disappears because it's the perfect match. So I think for me, it was worth it. Like being patient a little bit, it was definitely worth it.
Well, and the packaging, you talked a little bit about previous packaging that you had seen in other brands, that it was very medicinal. And this is a bright pink. So cool. You also now have the colors, the blushes,
yes.
That the case is so neat. So how did you come up with some of these different ideas? I mean, it's really innovative.
We want to think outside the box, right? Like anything. I do like challenges. It's tiring at times, but I honestly do like a challenge. I feel like that's what keeps things exciting. You get more, you get inspired more, you get more like motivated, going through those challenges. Cause once you're able to face it and, be able to overcome it, you're like, okay, so what's the next level? You know, how far can I push it? So I think, you know, with the foundation stick, it was very challenging, like with the customization for it. And then same thing, like, as you mentioned, the color. I wanted something that you're proud. You can take it out of your purse or backpack and not be embarrassed. Like I wanted that pop of color, right? I wanted it to stand out. So we do make sure, like even with the blush, it's a sliding, it slides open. So it's just being creative and still having fun with it.
Yeah, no. And I think packaging is so important in the beauty industry. I mean, what your product is super important, but, and the feel of it, there's so many elements that go into it. And obviously it definitely looks like you paid quite a bit of attention and you won for sure, because it's really great. So we talked to a lot of entrepreneurs about, sort of how their, what is their go-to-market strategy online versus stores? How did you think about that when you were launching this brand? Obviously, you have two locations, so you could sell there, but you wanted to reach many more people who weren't going to be able to make it to your centers or didn't need to go to your centers, but your makeup is still terrific for that.
Yes. I think it's important, like with DTC, like trying to connect and be able to get to as many people as possible. I think there was like for us, the challenging part, because we did launch with a foundation, and foundation is a little bit more difficult to try to have, like find your perfect shade, like mm-hmm. shopping for it online. So what we always try to do is we literally like have our team like be in contact with everybody, like a whole chat, like, let me help you. We had team members like FaceTime customers, like we went above and beyond. It was literally the most challenging. I think everybody in the beauty industry, this is exactly their words. They're like, why would you do foundation stick? It's a dead category. They're like, it is so hard to kind of break through or be able to grow. A lot of people start with lipstick or eyeshadow, but we are self-funded and we started with the most difficult product. But that's what I was telling you. I'm like, I like challenges. So I'm like, it's okay. If I got to launch with the most difficult, I think it should get easier now, right? But we're constantly trying to find different ways how we can connect, and being able now to use social media where our, you know, fan base is so strong, like slowly grow our fan base. We are online and then going to a retail like Sephora, which is like really a dream, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to be in Sephora, it's like it's helped us in so many different ways. And it opens up more doors, right? And in terms of growth, I think is just understanding. We used the first year to understand our customer. So that was really important to try to do it the first year on your own. You know, that's what we did, D2C. And then start to entertain like retailers and stuff like that, because I feel like there's a lot to learn for somebody who's new.
Definitely. So how did you decide what to do first? Obviously, foundation was something that was near and dear to your heart to get the right color. But to your point, a lot of people, you have 40 different shades of foundation. So that's a lot of SKUs to launch with initially. How did you decide, okay, this is the magic number, but then also where to stop and sort of see, okay, you know, this is what the collection is now. And I guess part two of that question is, how do you decide when to go further with the collection and add new items?
Right. So we launched originally with 40 shades. So we have four categories: light, medium, tan, and deep, right? So we did 40 shades, but the beauty about it, like the community we created online, it's so strong. And we listen to their feedback. That has been really a part of our growth, is listening to every single input that comes in and trying to understand, like, how can we be better? And we actually recently just expanded the shade range to 42, which is now the largest shade range in stick foundation. So that's because of we listened to our community. And they said, hey, maybe you need to do this or you need to do that. So we're constantly trying to improve. I think that's a big part of it, like how we've been able to grow is constantly listening to feedback. We don't take it to heart. I think, you know, for me, I try to remove like the sensitive side out of it, like the emotional side, and strictly focus like, listen, obviously this advice is important. And sometimes when you're in it for so long, it's hard to see what somebody, you know what I mean? You get so used to it and you can get comfortable. So that's what we use. Like the community has been very, very helpful for us.
So you have blushes. I talked a little bit about that. How many blushes did you launch with and how soon did you launch with those after the launch of the foundation sticks?
So the blushes, we launched six shades and we did it about, took me, that's another thing. It took about 3 years to perfect the formula, like to develop it and perfect it. So I think I take my time with products. I feel like it's very hard to get lost. I think it's very hard if you produce too much. Spacing it out a little bit, again, for us, it's been very helpful because it gives us time to really sit back and think and study the product, perfect it before like launching it. So far right now we have the six shades.
Well, they're absolutely terrific and they're very smooth and really, really awesome. So the beauty industry is constantly changing and trends and new companies are really cropping up. I founded a beverage company, so I'm clearly not afraid to go into a competitive market as competitive as the beauty industry. What have you learned about growing a company given sort of the competitiveness that exists out there, but also all of the changes and trends and just various factors that go on and that you have to kind of grapple with as you're growing a company?
Right. I think like with trends, they're fun, but operating a business, like for me, I tell my team, I'm not going with everybody. Like I can't follow a trend. Like I want to be able to build something that's going to live on forever. Like it's just something that's meaningful. I don't think of it like, okay, let's just launch this because it's hot today and then remove it like by next year. So I think taking our time to developing like meaningful products, paying attention to what is actually like needed. You know, I came into a category, a foundation that I was told was dead. And now we've been able to influence so many other brands that are coming back and launching foundation sticks, right? So I think you can be a part of a conversation where you take something maybe that didn't work because maybe it didn't solve a problem. But if you invest time to really think about it, like what can I create today that can solve a problem and can live on, right? So that's how I really operate, like how I operate every single day, try to think of different ways, like things that I actually enjoy, like that help me and can help everybody else.
So let's imagine that a friend listening to this interview has an idea for a product and they want to get it out there.
Sure.
You actually were in the service business and sort of learning a ton about consumers, but you didn't actually have a product. It's still a business, right? Mm-hmm. But this is physical product. I mean, you have definitely thrown yourself into a different world. It's not the same world that you were in. But knowing what you know today, what would you share with someone else who's founding a company?
I think like you have to trust your gut feeling. Like literally that's all there is. I came from two different worlds. Like this is so new for me. Like you said, this is a product. It's not a service. And it involves so much more. So I feel like now is everything that I do is making sure that we're, you know, like it's your heart is in it and don't try to get like, don't be discouraged because everybody's on their own journey, on their own path. nobody has ever gone on the same path as you. Like, they had different experiences. So always just stay focused. You have to really be motivated, always trying to stay motivated, and don't let anybody tell you no. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
You know, here I am, a burn survivor with a makeup brand where, you know, I don't think anybody growing up would be like, oh, I want to know what she's wearing, or, but it's anything is possible. You can really do it all.
Definitely. Well, I think too that a lot of people say that things are impossible. And I've talked about this a lot. And unless there's somebody there who really puts time and focus and really has a reason, it will remain impossible, or it will remain a dead category, right? I think there just has to be somebody who really is committed to something. So I've learned over the years that nothing is impossible. I think it's really about finding that person who's going to reinvigorate something and change something and really make it relevant or make it possible is the key.
Absolutely. That's what I truly believe in.
Definitely. So has anyone given you any amazing advice somewhere along the road here? I would imagine you've met a ton of other people in the beauty industry who are really inspired by your passion and your reason for starting this. Also, you've launched in Sephora. As you mentioned, they've been a terrific partner. So anybody give you any advice along the way that has really kind of sat with you and really helped you during those more challenging times?
Yeah, I think the best advice, honestly, was like to take our time with it. Think long term. Don't think like, okay, I just want to, I want success right now and all of that. And I think, honestly, one of my favorite right now, I'm living by it, is it's okay to say no. You don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to, you know, because it puts a toll and pressure on us. Like, if somebody invites you somewhere, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. And you're like, no, but my schedule is so hectic. So put a pause on it. It's okay to say no. And then you feel like a brand new person.
Yeah.
So that's been a really great advice for me. Like, right now in my life, I'm like, that's been really helpful.
Super great advice. I'm terrible at saying no. So, yeah, I'm very bad at it. And, it seems like I get better at it and then I fall back into saying yes more. So, and, there's a time for saying yes, but I think especially when you need to get your own stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's really like freeing. I'm telling you, once you have to practice a little bit more.
Yeah.
Saying no, don't worry about it. It's that guilt that we have in us. I'm a people pleaser. So I'm always like, yes, I got this. And I look at my calendar and my schedule. I'm like, how am I going to do this? So now it's helping me a lot.
That's terrific. Do you work out of both of your clinics, by the way?
Yes. So I do have teams like at both locations that do treatments, but I do 100% try to make sure everything is running smoothly. So yes.
That's terrific. So Basma Hamid, founder and CEO of Basma Beauty, thank you so much for sharing your journey and your wisdom, and best of luck with everything. We'll have all the info in the show notes. Everyone needs to try Basma Beauty. It's really, really terrific. So thank you again for creating this.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.